The table or?
I was still sure it went for Mike.
Move that one.
Citizen comments. Anyone wishing to address the committee? Citizen comments, seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Chair, supervisor, and youth in governance comments. Frank, week or so ago, we traded some emails, or I copied you in an email that was going back and forth about cabaret.
I just dictated something, it'll be on the next agenda.
Okay. For the committee's edification, this comes up, and certainly, Kim, you're aware of it, came up generally with this Club Climax in Summers. And with all that's been transpiring, they're not in compliance, but they ended up with a liquor license to begin with, and the cabaret was issued, and the county found out, or got involved, realized they weren't in compliance, so they're going back and forth on this whole issue, they have cited them a couple of times, they continue to operate. It's turned into quite a mess.
As a cabaret?
They do not have a cabaret.
They do not have a cabaret, you're correct.
But they're operating as one.
They had a special.
It all depends on what the neighbor tells you.
They had a special license.
I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to have the debate here necessarily. But apparently, what they did here a week or so ago was applied for a special use cabaret. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, and they're allowed to do it every month.
Yes, although my position is, if they're not in compliance with county zoning and they can't get a probationary or full cabaret, they shouldn't be allowed to get a temporary. And of course, when they come in to apply to the clerk's office, she doesn't know that. Clerk's office doesn't know it. I wouldn't expect him to. But what I'm asking Frank to bring forward, your office to bring forward, is a change to the ordinance that would require a 48-hour
two business day
notification or request for a temporary cabaret, which will give all agencies the opportunity to talk and determine whether or not they're in compliance. So that'll be coming forward.
Linda, could you remind me to make one more change? He said that you could apply for one a month or one in a 30-day period. I didn't see that in the ordinance.
My understanding is they could do one a month. Yeah. But
that's how the sheriff reads it, because they were allowing them to do it once. I think it was once a month.
Just let me check it. I don't remember reading that section.
Well, you would still have to have the parking, right?
That's what they did. No, under the conditional use permit.
They should be in full compliance, period. Right. So that's all I'm asking for. I'm just bringing the committee up to speed on what will be coming forward.
And I do know that Club Climax is now in compliance as of today. They have the striping done.
We can talk about that after the fact, because somehow I doubt that. Okay, so I have no other issues. Supervisors, any supervisor comments? Youth and governance. Seeing none, approval of the minutes of the January 10th Executive Committee meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Vice Chairman Ekinas, seconded by Supervisor Michael. Any questions on the minutes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Number five, 603, ordinance to amend section 2.08, paragraph 4 of the Municipal Code.
That was a payment or clarification. If you recall, I believe Supervisor Rose had raised an issue at one of the county board meetings as to whether or not two readings were required for the app amendment. The past practice has always been to just have one reading, and this clarifies that. The reason for the one reading is that a lot of times the developer or builder is meeting some timelines and needs to get that permit as soon as possible. Sometimes we put that off, you have to put it off for 2 weeks or a month. It's an inconvenience and cost of money. Text changes will still require 2 readings. And those apply to all of the townships that have county zoning, which is all of them. Map amendments only apply to the town where the parcel is located. So those are some of the background and rationale for just going with one reading. This just clarifies it.
So So you're saying, Frank, the section that is gray tone here, notwithstanding anything to the contrary contained in the Kenosha County Municipal Code, zoning map amendments shall only require one reading?
Correct.
And that is new text, correct?
Yes.
Anyone on the issue?
I have a question. I know it's underlined, so that's why it brought it to my attention. Two successive board sessions, the paragraph before that, for things that do require two.
Right.
Couldn't there be an instance where it was a meeting apart?
Well, what you would have is if you you would still have it on the second session, the two successive sessions, and if you didn't want to take it up, you would just table it for the next one.
Okay. Thank you.
So it would be on the agenda, and you would do something with it.
Right. And that's happened a lot of times.
Anyone else? Approval moved by Vice Chairman Eckernes. Is there a second? Second by Supervisor Brunick. Supervisor Noble on the question.
I think I've always wanted to ask this question. What is notwithstanding? What's the purpose of that word?
To confuse people.
I think so.
Regardless of anything else that's in the ordinance, this will take precedence.
Okay. My favorite is when I asked him what shall meant, and he said, well, shall doesn't always mean shall. So.
Question.
So, so you just like that better than regardless?
Yeah, apparently. Okay. Frank, on this, the issue of multiple readings, when you have, and I believe there's something on the agenda this evening, if I'm not mistaken, there was intended to be, that will be referred to committee that will require two readings. It's an ordinance from Supervisor Rose. So if a resolution is brought forward, or an ordinance, as is on this evening's agenda, it is referred to committee, is that considered the first reading?
I've never considered it the first reading. Although when it comes back to the board, that's the first reading. Because the committee will, you know, they can change it, they can amend it.
Well, that was my next question. If, in fact, the committee then doesn't make any changes, is it considered the first reading? If they do and they're not material, is it considered the first reading? If they do and they are considered material, does it become then two readings required? So you're saying you don't consider it, period, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and the reason is I never know what's going to happen at the committee. I mean, you could make an argument that there wasn't any change made or it should be the second reading, but if that's the case, I would just say suspend the rules.
If they need to get it quickly.
Yeah.
So the clerk should read it tonight?
Is this the one that we're talking about right now?
No, just in general. I'm saying it's a general question around this issue of ordinances and two readings. It's going to be read. I'm going to refer it, and you don't consider
it. She announces it. She reads it, and then there's a referral to
okay,
it.
Fine.
What are you talking about?
It's something by Supervisor Lowe's.
But I bring it up because I believe this very issue, which was the map amendment, is where that question arose last time.
Right.
And I'm trying to clarify all about it together.
Supervisor Rose is about Sheriff Beth telling people they had to take signs down at
That's a ball. Yeah. What?
All right.
That's what this.
I know.
Any further discussion on the ordinance before us?
It doesn't say that.
Is there a number on there?
No.
No.
Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries.
Is that on the county board agenda for tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
It is. Okay. She should give it a number then tonight.
Oh, this one? The one we just approved?
Yes.
No, it is not on tonight's agenda.
Okay. So it'll go on for the second meeting then?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, 609, number 6, discussion and possible action on updated Kenosha County contracting policy.
Okay, since we last met on this, I had a lot of input from a lot of different people. Carol O'Neill, purchasing director, Dave, this morning, and Bernie. And so there have been some changes, and I think I should go through them with you just to explain some of the rationale. Obviously, when you get other people and departments involved, they think of scenarios and other types of issues which were not brought to the forefront this time we met. I apologize for not getting this to you sooner, but like I said, there's been a lot going on in the office, and this was the, I didn't even get Bernie's input until this morning. So what I'd like to do is to just go through it real quick and tell you where the changes are. I was not able to do a red line. The intent is still the same. It's looking to set up guidelines for entering into contracts and to make sure that it's done in a fair and equal opportunity way and as uniform as possible. And again, seeking to get cost-effective administration of the contracts. The contracts, number two there, 1.02, the written contracts. First of all, we're asking that they be put in writing and that they conform with the policies that are set in this, this document. What we're talking about here is setting up a database. I talked with Dave about this, and we still need to have some discussions with the IS people. But the idea here is to set up a database whereby the contracts will be scanned into that database and be available for, essentially, at the beginning anyway, at least internal use. Once the document is scanned, it'll have to be indexed. There'll be some need for desk scanners. These are not very costly, I'm told. I've used them. They work very, very well. There is a little bit of an effort, not very much, in terms of indexing it. We're starting to do that in the office with the contracts. We start the scanning. So what we're suggesting here is that this be done first of all, on a pilot basis, and then as budgets become available and people get familiar with the protocol for doing it, it be incorporated throughout the entire county. So that's not going to read every word here, but that's basically the intent of the of that section. The next section deals with the distinction between the board's responsibilities and the executive's. Obviously, the board has the budgetary and audit responsibilities and the funding and approving general policies such as the ones that you have in front of you now. The executive, once you tell him what to do, is supposed to negotiate on behalf of the county, make the award, execute and administer the contract, and to do it all in conformity with the other ordinances which have been passed by the county board. Those generally relate to purchasing and also with respect to all federal and state laws and regulations. The next section had some changes in it, and I can go through them with you a little bit.
Can we just kind of run through that table and just you can talk about, I mean, quickly, audit's pretty simple, but just kind of run down the table and sure. Why it's in a certain spot.
Audits, the county board essentially has one of its primary duties, I think, is to not only budget but to audit. And consequently, if you want to pick an auditor, the feeling is that there should be some approval, if you will, by the county board as to who that would be. Bonding, I believe, is by state statute. You obviously pass resolutions and other matters pertaining to bonding. Claim settlements I had put on there, but essentially we took that off because the way it works right now is you have a you participate in WMIC. WMIC makes decisions with respect to claims, the only claim that really would wind up coming back to the board, and nobody would I could put that in there if you like, but you have insurance up to $10 million, so anything over $10 million obviously would call your attention.
How about claim settlement, any uninsured claims?
Any uninsured?
Over a certain threshold? I'm just thinking,
well, there's, if we're at the self-insured retention level, those are uninsured, but we can still settle those. I think things like mailboxes, you still have to bring those in. Those are uninsured.
But that's over a threshold. You can set a threshold, any uninsured claim over $100,000 or whatever. I don't know of any instances, but if we're saying WMIC is handling all of it, and then there's none outside of there, what if there happens to be one? Then what happens? The executive can settle it according to this?
No, we just took this whole thing out because of WMIC's participation.
So, Frank, you've always told me that, for example, if there was a civil rights case in federal court, that law required that to go to court. You know, with Joel's example, that if there was a $20 million case.
Well, a civil rights case, usually the claims are multi-million dollars.
And they're not covered, you can't insure that.
No, he is.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, I'm trying to think of an example of one that is uninsured.
Uninsured would be something over $10 million.
So,
but your language there about any uninsured, I could live with that.
I mean, you can set a threshold. Any, you know, where the county's going to pay out of their. I don't know.
Insured.
I mean, I don't know how the committee feels about that. I mean, if there's a claim, do they care? I think you want to.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
I think you want to know about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next one is collective bargaining and the event that ever returns. I mean, this is essentially a holdover. I don't know if there are any collective interviews. I don't know if there are any outstanding. I believe that there may be, and those by statute require.
Going back to the claims, did we decide we're going to put some type of a threshold in that? Or
I put it in.
Oh, you did? So what'd you put for a threshold?
I said any uninsured.
Okay.
All right. Well, there has to be a threshold, though, because we paid lots of claims through
over $10,000? $25,000?
Well,
got to exceed the SIR or exceed the insured limits. Or
the insured retention is $100,000.
Yeah.
So those we wind up paying.
We pay them.
But they settle.
And they settle.
Right. I don't know if you... I'm talking about any uninsured claim over $10 million. You want to do something between $0 and $100,000?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether there's any instances. I'm asking you, are there examples?
It's the...
I mean, I don't want to clog the county board up with this, but if we're settling something... We have a vendor. I don't know. I don't.
Well, I'm going to say any uninsured claim.
What about a claim from an employee that we settle? Former employee that we settle?
Well, that would generally those would limit.
Okay.
The other thing about saying.
Are you talking about like a discrimination claim? Or?
Sure.
So it's like we choose to be self-insured, so we don't buy insurance. So that means anything, because we've chosen to be self-insured, we have to get more approval to settle.
But who makes the review and decides to settle in that case? When we're talking about we're self-insured.
Well, so if there's an example of an employee, if an employee brings a claim, we have the budget to support the budget for... wherever it is, workers' comp, liability, health insurance, wherever it is, the board approved the budget. You know, because we're self-insured, we're saying here anything uninsured. You know, if we bought insurance, then we wouldn't have to bring everything to the board. But because we chose to be self-insured, because we find it to be more cost-effective, we would have to bring some level of those to the board. That's, I know that's not what you want to do, but we have to be careful how we word that otherwise.
You're insured between $100,000 and $10 million. So anything over $10 million, obviously. I think what you're saying is anything greater than, let's say, $25,000 or $50,000, but less than the insured retention, which is $100,000.
I mean, and it's not like the health insurance if someone's got a claim for health. I mean,
no, it's just liability.
Yeah, you exactly.
I didn't see what.
So
liability claim settlements.
I think if it's I wouldn't even want to have to. It's in the self-insured retention, and the board approved that budget that level. That's cool. Why should you have to bring
it? I mean, it brings it, if the county has done something to some material level, I think the county board wants to know about it if we're settling something. That's my opinion.
We can report it in closed session. Jim Olson gets a report on that.
I think if it's going to be a large settlement, you may have a point. I can see what you're saying.
And I don't know of any instances where anything's happened and how big of a problem this is, so it's part of why I'm asking.
I talked with Bernie and
you'll shoot something out to the committee or
yeah, okay. To the committee. He used to be on the board of directors, so. Right. Data processing and communication contracts are with the executive. Emergency contracts, again, because of time constraints, are with the executive. Employment benefit contracts, we left that with the executive. The county board has, it's saved really at budget time with respect to him. Probably the one that's important here is health insurance. So that if you
with the insurance, the overarching rule that I recall, and I think it's a good one, is if we're going to change from being insured to self-insured or vice versa, that would require county board approval. If we're doing an RFP and selecting an administrator, but we're not changing the basic framework, that's something that the executive should be able to do. Also, again, we have our year-end, whatever you want to call it, stop-loss or whatever name you want to call it. We never negotiate that way ahead of time because by waiting till the last minute, we get the best pricing. You know, the further ahead you try to get something insured in the health insurance area, the more the premium they're going to charge you on that to make up for the unknown. They want to know what your patterns are and what your costs are. So we usually negotiate that. That's our Christmas present. You know, before we go on Christmas vacation, we have to get that contract. So that would be a good one. To not have to go to the board, you want to let the administration do that one. You get the best pricing, it's most cost effective.
So what box are we talking about here?
This yellow one up on the screen that says the administrator. I guess, Frank, you intend to include the stop loss in that, right? I didn't say that.
Right.
And the type of coverage, you mean, is it self-insured or insured? That's what I understand.
Right.
So, Frank, just for clarification, would here it's stricken. On the screen it is not. Which one
yeah,
is?
Yeah. The other thing we were talking about are deductibles and co-pays. And
from my understanding is you had to do some research on that to see what, what's administrative and what's account board oversight.
Is that the one that we see?
Yeah.
I did not get a chance to talk to RC. They apparently did it without county board approval.
Right.
Did what?
So they
type of coverage?
No. I call it type of coverage. He calls type of coverage self-insured or basically insured through a private entity. My designation or type of coverage I was talking about, what the deductible would be. It's my understanding of the way the budget works is that you put a certain dollar amount in there and then the administration has to work with that to get something that will work with that figure. So it means raising the copay a little or manipulating it one way or the other.
I mean, I understand what type of coverage is. I think the level of coverage we approve when we do the when we approve contracts or when we approve the budget. So, I mean, I think that should say type and level of coverage. And you can budget for it or whatever, but if you're going to go in and change it, I think the whether you're going to have co-pays or you have co-pays and you decide that we're not going to have co-pays or whatnot, I don't know. It's all part of that budget discussion. We were going to have this done tonight. We're going to be to the point that we're done researching. I thought that's what happened. And we come in here and people are looking at it today like we're doing a term paper that we're staying up all night to get ready for. We've been working on this thing for years. I mean, I think the plan here was to get it to the point that we're going to get very close to being done, get this on the agenda so we can get it approved by April.
I think you can still meet that deadline.
Okay.
Do you think it should be type and limit, did you say?
My opinion. Level. I don't know what the committee...
Level.
My concern is what I've heard from staff is that the executive will be given the authority to make changes to level of coverage, as I call it, co-pays, et cetera. Because that's all part and has historically been part of the budget discussion, either independent leading up to it or all-inclusive in one shot within the budget, I think you need to adequately cover that here. You need to stay with the county board on some level. Budget time is fine with me, but you can't just give the county executive the ability. First of all, when you've got a contract, he's going to be able to do it anyways. With the new rules and policies that we have, if that provides any opportunity for that to be the case, then I'm not comfortable with it. It needs to remain ultimately with the county board. And if that's through the budget process, I'm fine with that. I don't need it to be independent.
And previously, we did it with the collective bargaining agreements. Right. It was defined.
Right. In there. That's what I'm saying. So with the changes now, if that somehow takes that away from the county board having the ability to weigh in on it, then I'm not comfortable with it.
All right, let me...
I don't know, quite honestly, I don't know if there's a whole lot of legal research to do.
No,
in fact, if we keep the county board included as having oversight,
yeah,
or the approval. But what I was actually asking is, on my sheet, you've got type of coverage and administrator lined up, stricken here. Up there you don't. Which one am I following?
Neither. Right now we're going to put the administrator back in, and we're going to have stop loss. Those are things that the executive will be doing. The other box with type of coverage being self-insured or insured will be be clarified. The only thing that's out there is what Supervisor Clark calls the level of insurance.
All right, and that's fine, but I'm saying as we go through this, which one are you recommending? What's up here or what's here?
What I just said.
He's going to come back.
I know that. All right, so now we're going to go to the next box.
Right.
Let's say we get down to page 3, insurance contracts liability. Again, one is stricken, the other isn't. I don't know what it's, and up here it's not stricken at all. So which is the current document to be followed?
What's current is what you have there and what's
perfect
there.
No, they're not, because they don't match.
It's not the same. That's not stricken up there.
That's what I sent over.
You emailed me the most current one. This looks like it's the most current one.
I see it's not crossed out.
It's not crossed out.
All right, and I'm not trying to call anybody on the carpet. You tell me which one, I can follow along without any concerns at all. I just want to
know. So that's not supposed to be crossed out, you're saying?
Yeah.
It is supposed to be crossed out.
Supposed to be. It is or it is not?
Where are you?
Here. We're now we're looking
on the other one.
And we just tend to jump
there. Supposed to be crossed out.
And
but
it's not
crossed
out
there.
Yeah.
So what we have is the most.
Right, so this is what I want to look at.
Yeah.
Perfect. Continue.
We want to board it.
I believe that's going to be a computer problem. I was trying to show you where the changes were. That's the only explanation I have.
But just for the record, Frank, before the meeting started, all of the insults you hurled at the chairman, I resisted responding to what the statement you just made about must be a computer problem. Go ahead, continue.
Should we move on? Grants. In discussing this with Dave, everything would go through the executive. The only ones that would go to the board are ones where there's need for a budget modification or if it's required by the grant. And you want to give the rationale for that?
Well, with the grants, we typically haven't brought every grant in for approval. But what I've seen historically here is that we have grants that require a board to approve them, but typically we don't bring every grant in. Most of these grants are routine ones that we get every year, year in and year out. And if it's approved in the budget, there's normally evidence in the budget documents that that grant is funding for an expenditure. So to have to bring every grant in, I think would just add administrative effort that's really not going to be productive.
So that's the current practice right now?
Yeah,
right.
The current practice, improve it in the budget, details shown in the budget, but we don't have to specifically bring every grant in for approval. Now, if there's a new grant and it's not budgeted, then just by the mere fact that you have to amend the budget means you got to get board approval to amend the budget, and then as part and parcel of that, you've got to approve the grant. I mean, if you don't like the grant, you don't amend the budget. That requires a two-thirds vote, so you have a pretty good level of control there.
So you should put the word new grant in there too, then.
Well, it might not be new. You know, it could be one that we had 3 years ago, like one of these lead grants, you know, where I guess I might have used the word new earlier, but it could be one that's infrequent. Like WIC is in the budget every year, that's a grant that's in the budget every year. It's not the lead grant we apply for it and get it sporadically. Some of these floodplain grants, they're sporadic. You know, it depends on when the Fed releases the money. And usually that's incident-based if there's a big flood, big hurricane, some other big disaster. So it just seems like it wouldn't be productive. There would be no productive purpose served. But if there is some grant that is not in the budget, they have to amend the budget. If there's some controversy, something the board doesn't like about the type of grant, then you get your kick in the cat when you're amending the budget.
So, and at least just a comment relative to the budget detail, there's not sufficient detail to know what all those grants are. You know, I mean, you have line items and dollar amounts, and not that I'm advocating that we change the current practice.
I agree, Supervisor Clark, that in the budget there is not, but I consider all the records that make up the budget also evidence of what that budget is. So if you go back and look at, for example, if you look at Lori's detailed budget files, you'll see that that grant is there and the intent was that that grant fund account. And I think all of that goes as evidence of what was intended, and it's important that that be considered. But certainly it would be impractical to paper the our leadership to death with all of that, nor would we want that. I think it's important when we assemble the budget put it together that we have all that evidence.
Bless you. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Can I move on? Mm-hmm. Individual employment contracts would be an executive decision. That's assuming that money's been budgeted. Insurance contracts, that it should be crossed out in that under county board. And this is the liability insurance, this is the GMIC.
You intended this to be crossed
out. Yeah, that should have been crossed out. I think it's because I have this all on a table here.
That is that crossed out by pencil?
No, it was crossed out by, but it, when you do the table, it's not picking up the cross to strike out. And don't say anything bad about word perfect. otherwise, it's pretty
nice.
So, self insured retention increases, stop loss contracts. That's
can't
what
we get a dated program for them?
Intergovernmental contracts would wind up going to the board.
Excluding the team.
If the press isn't here tonight, so I can. Well, I can't, we're on tape. I mean, this is coming up in the and that's why I'm running behind. I've got a hearing on Thursday on the health department case. And one of my arguments is that just as they common counsel should have approved the contract, the intergovernmental agreement, the county to set up the health department, so too should they have taken action to revoke it, to ask that be part of the lawsuit. And talking with Dave this morning, there are some routine intergovernmental agreements and some intergovernmental purchasing agreements that are really routine, that really the practice has been to just sign those as we do others. There are a lot of contracts that we have with the state of Wisconsin. I don't think you want those all come to the board to be here at 3 in the morning.
And the budget would have evidence.
Right.
Budget
right.
Files.
Non-budgeted, non-previously authorized contracts, that's just a catch-all, that's yours. The next one should have been taken out, open-ended, some sufficient contracts. I think that was just a general term. Personal property leases would be with the executive. Professional service and consulting contracts.
Just backing up to that professional services, open-ended, some sufficient. We're saying we can just automatically do that, or you're saying that's in there or out of there?
It would be in the budget.
The budget evidence?
Yeah, it would be open-ended.
We're back up to this one. This one, open-ended, some sufficient contracts.
You said you should have crossed it out.
You meant to cross
it out. I meant to cross it out. First of all, they're contradictory.
I suppose. That's it's like a mistake.
Yeah.
I wanted to cover that later.
Yeah, it was a mistake.
But then in this professional services one, you talked about that.
The professional services one, where the county is going to retain either attorneys, architects, computer consultants, that would be with the executive. There should be cross out there for the county board. And again, generally you have something budgeted for that. Provider contracts, those are the routine contracts that we do day to day with the executive. Public Works and Construction contracts, same thing, was pretty much governed by bidding, RFP processes, purchasing contracts, general material, equipment, supplies, again, executive function.
You're all.